So, saints, we can turn to page 39, morning session 2, message 2. Amen. We're going to get into more on the, you know, this line of fellowship on the 2s and 3s is really fellowship on the vital groups. And something vital, you know, maybe some of you heard the term vital groups. But really, what we're fellowshipping with you is something that is so vital for your Christian life. And vital in the sense that we are absolutely dependent on this principle that we're fellowshipping here, the 2s and 3s. And it's vital that we pick up this principle, that we see something concerning this principle of the 2s and 3s in our fellowship. Because actually, I find as I go on in my Christian life, in the church life, I am more and more realizing, you know, even retrospectively, how much I could have been benefited, helped with companions. I had probably much like you today. You have more of a view of the church life as a whole. I'm in the church, but you can't pinpoint it down to who am I practically being built up with today. And so I realized so many struggles that I had, so many things I had difficulty with in my youth. You know, I'm not so much in my youth anymore, although I'm still young. But I realized, Lord, how much I would have benefited if I would have heard this speaking. And not just heard it, but been determined to practice it. And I know a lot of times we don't maybe like this word practice. We like to go right into the thing. You know, why would I want, I don't want to learn guitar. I had a hard time with guitar, because I knew I'd have to practice it, you know. And so anyway, one day after college, I was in another country and there was nothing to do. And except some brothers were like, well, would you like to learn how to play guitar? And I was like, I wish I would have learned when I was younger. I see brothers now playing and they're just having such a good time. I was like, I couldn't just sing to the Lord by myself with a musical instrument. But I was like, yeah, let's learn. So I practiced, you know, and slow and laborious. It takes time, and you don't know how to play a song, and it takes weeks. And well, my point is, to get into the 2s and 3s, right, it takes practice. But first, there has to be a determination, you know. And that's what the brothers were sharing last night, the vision, to give us a kind of a view, to make a decision. We're burdened that you would make a decision now. Lord, I want that. I want to practice that. That's why these testimonies are so helpful. They're right where we are. Lord, this is something that they're touching, they're experiencing. I want that experience. Isn't that how we go on in the Christian life? You know, maybe something shared in a message, and even the way it's shared, you're just impressed. Lord, I want to be able to share that point of truth. That's not bad. You know, an experiential point. Lord, I want that experience. Don't you want to discern your outer man from your inner man? Doesn't that give you a little bit of a hunger to go home and read the Word? Lord, I want to experience this sharp, two-edged sword. Well, anyway, the fellowship that we got yesterday plus today, I just want to develop a little bit more about what the brothers were sharing about the 2s and 3s. And if you look at your outline, well, first of all, before we get into the outline, you know, the brothers shared last night or yesterday about 2 Timothy 2:22. We need to what? Flee and pursue. Right? Flee and pursue. There's a lot of this back and forth in our college years. We're fleeing and we're pursuing. We're pursuing and we're fleeing. But I don't think how many of us match it with these other two words the brothers brought out. With those. It's with those. We don't flee and pursue individually, independent. Right? By ourselves. Actually, one thing I appreciate is this picture of God's building. In the tabernacle, right, there's boards, acacia boards overlaid with gold. These boards were 1.5 cubits wide. Now, 1.5 means they're not complete. They're not a full unit, a half a unit. I mean, I don't know anybody just want a half of something, right? You got to have a whole unit. Well, 1.5 plus 1.5 is 3. Simple math, but that is a unit for God's building. These two boards. So even this picture here of God's building, even you need 2 to form a complete unit for God's building. Well, also, you have all these wonderful types in the Old Testament the brothers brought out. But this matter of pursuing with those to not just flee. Actually, many times we think, I need companions so I can flee. In my experience, you know, in my growing up, I had some companions. At a certain point, I didn't have any companions in the Lord. And so I was doing a lot of fleeing, but ineffectively. And in fact, soon I found up just surrounded by certain things. And by the Lord's mercy, I was able to escape by the Lord's mercy. But I tell you, it's not just about fleeing with our companions. It's about pursuing with our companions. To pursue Christ with our companions. Don't look at it just on the negative side, like, oh, the world is so perilous that I need companions so I can stand. Actually, when you experience the twos and threes, these building groups, actually, your pursuit of Christ is enhanced, is increased. So it's altogether positive. Don't look at it. Maybe that's just me. When I think of twos and threes, I think, oh, Lord, I have to survive in this wicked age. I need my companions. But actually, it's altogether positive. Our pursuit of Christ is multiplied in the twos and threes. So I want to share one little testimony of a brother I knew growing up. And I knew each other. He was a little older than me. And we both grew up in the church life. And at a certain point, right after high school, he had some friends and companions that were not my group of companions, but he started hanging out with these guys and they getting into some trouble. And I just observed him, and he really was being more and more brought away from the church life. Eventually, what happened was there was a certain situation where it was pretty dramatic, and he was hanging out with these guys, and there was a weekend, and the next Monday, I mean, he just cut everything off. It was very serious, very dramatic what happened. He cut off all his friends. He stopped going out and doing anything in an active way. And he would just stay at home and he'd read the Bible. He would take classes. You know, he started going back to, he was continuing his education. I mean, I was very impressed with the way he just cut everything off. Everything negative, you could say, outwardly, he just cut it off. And he would just read the Bible and you know, do his best to pursue the Lord. Well, he never got built up with others. You know, and eventually I moved away for college. And, you know, we're still friends on, you know, Facebook. And I still communicate with him here and there. He's in another part of the country. But what saddens me is that when he posts me and different things, there's nothing of Christ in his post. Nothing of Christ. Nothing of enjoyment. In fact, it's hard to tell sometimes you could tell he's a Christian, but it's a little bit, it's not so clear. So what the point is, it's not just about fleeing certain things. You could flee, but if you're not built up with others, the issue of your fleeing, it won't be sustained. And even if you escape bad things, you're not part of God's building. So is that the end we want? No. So I'm just so happy that we have this vision, this seeing that we need to see concerning practicing the twos and threes so that we could be built up in God's building. We could pursue Christ in God's building. So we want to practice the twos and threes. We want to flee and pursue with those. Amen. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Principle for God's people is that they should be grouped together in twos or threes. So I was really appreciating these verses in Ecclesiastes that were brought out. We should be pretty familiar with these. If you ever think about where's that verse about, you know, companions or twos or threes or, you know, a man may prevail against the one, the two will withstand him. Where's that? That's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But I was just going back and reading these verses, and verse 8 actually struck me. It says, there is one alone and without a second. Also, he has no son or brother. Yet there is no end to all his labor. And it goes on, and then two are better than one. But I was appreciating that. There is one alone and without a second. What a sad situation. One alone and without a second. Also, he has no son. No son. No offspring. No fruit. And no brother. No family life. So this gives us a maybe the contrast, the background, the black background of what this is what we don't want. We want to be built up with others. We don't want to have a lonely Christian situation. Well, we need to be grouped together. So Matthew 18:20. If you open your Bibles, let's look at Matthew 18, chapter 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. This is really a key verse for this section that really kind of encapsulates the whole burden for what I'm going to share. So Matthew 18, 20, we probably know this verse, maybe have it memorized. Okay, 18, 20. We can all read it together. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. This is a very encouraging verse. So there is a principle for God's people. And this principle, you could say it's like a law. You know, a law is a fundamental governing principle. And there are other principles which are derived from this governing law. It's a principle of God's people that we should be grouped together. So the church is something very mysterious, very universal. Yet on the other hand, After the Lord Jesus reveals in Matthew 16 the church universal, then he brings up in Matthew 18, he talks about something very practical. And he even breaks it down to twos or threes. So the real building up of the church, it's very practical. And this principle is the twos or threes. So what does it say? It says that where two or three are gathered together into my name, there am I in their midst. So this is something that right away, I don't know how much experience we have of this now, but we need to pray, Lord, I want this experience. So this brings me into point A. Before going to get a companion, we need to pray, Lord, give me someone as a companion or send someone to me. Bring me into contact with the one whom you choose. You know, this, I was touched because I consider my experience, you know, in high school. Maybe some of you are just graduating high school. You know, high school, you're in this large, you know, because the way we're growing up and, you know, the society, it was very easy for me to get friends. I wouldn't call them companions. We weren't joined together for a common interest. It was mainly based on music, you know, certain things we like to do, culture, these kind of things. So in high school, what you have is a lot of cliques. You have a lot of these little groups. And so there's not really a building up. There's not a building up together. So in the church, I'm not likening the church to a kind of a societal situation in high school, but sometimes in the church, it could be similar. There could be some similarities in that you have maybe a large church where you're from. Let's say you're from Vancouver and you're there in this church. And so, yeah, you're kind of aware of everybody and you're all kind of in the same church, but really, you have your little cliques that are based on culture, nationality, music, sports. I mean, all these things, they divide us, right? This was very clear in high school, and maybe I think you're aware of that. But there could also be this side of things in the church where we are, right? Because most of the time, we live according to our preferences, natural relationships with others. But before going to get a companion, right, we're talking about a companion. We need to pray, Lord, give me someone as a companion or send someone to me. Bring me into contact with the one whom I choose. You may realize this. I know everybody. I know all these brothers, but I don't have a companion. No one is really pursuing with me. I'll get together. If you can get together with a bunch of brothers all the time, play sports, do this, do that. And at a given time, you can't just say, brothers, let's pray. Then maybe what you have is altogether natural. There's no building there. So you know the brothers, you know the sisters. But if you have something spiritual, a struggle you're going with, can you open that up to that person? That's a companion. Or would you feel, no, they'll judge me. Oh, they'll spread gossip. They'll tell others about me. Or if I open up this, they'll just go over here. Will they even care? Right? So we need to have a vision that I need a companion. And Lord, maybe I don't have a companion, but Lord, what about now? I need a companion for my pursuit. So I think there's a sister, Rachel and Nia. that have a testimony they'd like to share on this point? Did I say Sarah? I apologize, Sarah.
A very close family. Our two families were very good friends, but we were never really good friends. Never best friends, I should say. And then about 9 months ago, I had been praying for a while for a companion, and then I was at the meeting one day, and Sarah came over and sat next to me, and she grabbed my hand, and it was a very clear, this is it. Boom. It's like, there's your companion.
Amen.
And since then, we've been reading almost every day together, and we read half an hour at 8:30 every morning, and it is a wonderful and supplying experience.
Yes. In my experience, I had just finished my first year of college. Oh, no, my second year of college. I was finishing my second year of college, and I was being very exposed. I was having college issues. I was having family issues, and I just wasn't in a good place. And I was walking into that meeting, and I look at Nia, and she's sitting in the second row, and I see her love for the Lord, and it was so pure. It is so pure and genuine, and I grew very jealous. I felt really emotional that morning, and I was like, I'm going to sit next to her, and we take each other's hand, and I grip her hand like I never wanted to let go. The Lord was very real in that moment that we were going to be companions for the rest of our lives. And everything is in the Lord's timing, so if you're praying for a companion, don't stop. Amen. He will send you someone that will supply you in every way that you need. You know, you can go to them for any personal problem, and then you pray about it, and it's really vital.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. So ask the Lord. You think if you're touched by this word, and I hope you would be just touched in this line of fellowship throughout the whole week, ask the Lord. Lord, I want this experience. You know, there's a lot of critical matters that come out of the building up and the twos and threes. So ask the Lord. Lord, I need a companion. I want a companion. Or make this sister, make this brother. Lord, what about them being my companions? But bring me into contact with the one whom you choose, right? Capital U. It's not my choice. You shouldn't trust your choice. Amen. Okay, B. Do not have companions in a loose way, choosing them because you like a person or because a person is similar to you. That's what I did all through high school. That's all I did was choose people who are similar to me and who kind of are I would like to be related to them because I looked up to them, or, you know, just my natural thought, my natural concept. We should be able to go to any brother or sister to be our companion, not caring for what they are like and forgetting all the differences. Because really, what the Lord needs is those who are built up together, who know their spirit. And you're learning how to know your spirit. So that doesn't mean you need to be built up with somebody who's really exercised, like, oh, I just need to be with Phil because he really knows his spirit. That's who my companion needs to be. Actually, we're all learning. We're all practicing. And so even maybe you don't even know how to pray together, but you just practice. It's practicing. You just start to pray. And maybe when you first initially, maybe when these sisters would pray together, it was a minute, 20 seconds each, maybe less than a minute. That's practicing. You got to begin somewhere, and you have to be genuine where you are. You know, this is part of opening to one another, forgetting all the differences, not putting up a facade and pretending somebody you're not. Okay, C. How about altogether? Read C. Amen. Oh Lord. Amen. So I would ask you, and you don't have to answer, but in the church life, do we need a social life? The answer is yes. We're human beings. We need a social life. That means you do things outside of the church life. I mean, it includes the church life, but you go shopping, right? You play sports. You go have meals. You exercise. You study. A lot of things you do, especially as students. You need this aspect. You can't just do it alone, by yourself, all the time. That's not healthy, right? You have to be social. But we want to avoid having, and you have to underline, or you don't have to underline, I did, mere friendship or social interchange. It doesn't mean you don't have a friendship or social interchange. But what is the litmus test? What is the true test? Okay, is this a companion? Is that it should be limited by the cross of Christ? And I would say in a practical way for you, can you pray? Can you pray with this person? Can you touch the Spirit with this person? Or is that your gaming companion? You play games with this person. Your video games all the time. You game with this person. I like to go shop with this person. You know, whatever it is. Well, if you can't pray with this person about anything other than what you're involved in right there, I would question whether or not that's your companion. Maybe that's just a mere friendship or social interchange. We do need to do things together. But we should have this realization, I have a spirit, they have a spirit, I'm learning how to walk according to the inner man, so we should be able to pray. I should be able to talk to my companion, and we're talking about, you know, whatever, playoffs, and then we just, hey, can we pray? And if there's this building, there's this same realization, there won't be a like, what? It should be, and not condemnation either. It's not, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. No. But you just realize, that's right. Yeah, we can pray. We can pray. Let's pray. Right? I mean, we need this kind of building where we're just genuine with one another. We know one another, and we're human. Right? But we're learning how to develop this kind of relationship. We open to one another. We seek out one another. You know, what's really sweet is when I hear about brothers and sisters who, this one brother, he was telling me he was going to go shopping, and so he just called up this other brother, said, hey, and they were going to go to Target. Hey, you want to go with me? He just called him up to go shopping. You know, I'm sure I don't know if they were praying. I didn't ask him, but isn't that sweet? He just do things with his companion. Hey, I'm going to go do some mundane activity. You want to go with me? You know, normally I would just get in my car and go take care of it. But this brother has a desire for a grouping, a companion. So he just involves this brother. Everywhere he goes, he just tries to invite him. Hey, come do this. Come do that. That's just so sweet. He's seeking out one another, seeking out the brother, seeking out the sister. We should practice this. You know, you don't have to have a motive. Oh, I want to, you know, I have some kind of, we need to talk. And no, you just, hey, sister, I'm going to go take care of this. Would you like to go with me? This is actually very healthy. We should realize there are many different kinds of companions and groupings in the church life, and we should be open to the Lord for how we should be grouped. So I want to share a few testimonies of my own related to different kinds of companions. You know, we may be locked into this thought that twos or threes means, you know, these two brothers are my companions. Is that Thomas and Timothy, right? And so there, I've got my twos and threes. Okay, I'm good. These two brothers, I got my twos and threes. We're three. That's max capacity, right? So I'm good. I'm good. Sorry, Jacob. Sorry, Jacob. I got my twos and threes. But actually, we should have many different kinds of groupings in the church life. So don't be restricted in your concept. Oh, I just have my companion and that's it. Actually, in my experience, I have many companions. You know, I don't have a lot of companions, really, in this way, but I'll share a few examples. So there's this brother who's much older than me, and it's so good to have ones who are older than you as your companions. You know, my wife always tells me, you need more same-age peers. You know, same-age peers, you know? I guess because, man, I'm hanging out with a lot of college students, and then I fellowship with older brothers. You need some same-age peers, but you need same-age peers. I'm so happy you're in college with a lot of same-age peers. That means you're all involved in the same things. You understand one another. You're in the same stage in life. Well, this brother's not in my stage of life. He's retired. But he and I would pray together at least twice a week. We'd fellowship. And here and there, he'd share some points he enjoyed from a message. And I remember one time, something happened to my wife's car. And I needed to get it fixed. And I called up the repairman, and they told me a quote. Either it's going to be $600 or $2,000. And you just choose, you know, you could do this, it might solve the problem, or, and so anyway, I'm just like really stressed out, like, oh, Lord Jesus, what am I going to do? I mean, this is, so I'm driving to the mechanic to tell him which course to take. And I just was sitting in the parking lot, just anxious, like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And we need a car. And what are we going to do? And anyway, and the Lord just touched me. Call this brother. So I called this brother up and I said, hey, Mike, can we pray? Let's pray. And so we just prayed. I don't remember even telling him what the situation was. I got this situation. I may have. I don't recall that. All I remember is it was like a 10-minute, no more than 10 minutes, probably a little more like 5 minutes. We prayed, and it was like abrupt, like, amen. Okay, thanks, brother. Bye. And I went in, and I just had the peace to make a certain decision. And the issue of that was, you know what it was? It was really Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered into my name. There am I in their midst. So I needed an answer. I need the Lord. Lord, I'm seeking you. And I just couldn't get it by myself. Oh, Lord, what do I do? This is a very practical situation. It's not going to affect me spiritually for the New Jerusalem, but it's very practical. And I don't know what to do. So I just called this brother up. He didn't tell me what to do at all. Didn't give me any advice. We just prayed together, called the Lord. Amen, brother. Thanks. Click. And I don't even think I told him what the issue of that was. I never remember telling him, oh, I did this or did that. That wasn't the point. It was, I needed my companion. I need to pray with this brother. And you know what? The Lord was there in my midst. I was there over, you know, on the phone, but the Lord was there. And the issue was what? I just had the light concerning what I needed to do in that moment. Another situation was with this college brother. And he and I, you know, we fellowship. And we meet together, and he's in my home meeting, my small group. And we also get together at another time during the week to fellowship and pray for one another personally. And so I was just sharing some things, and I just remember opening up some things to him. Something at his level. He knew my daughter's situation and my wife, so I wasn't opening up marital situations or anything beyond this, you know, scope of his experience. And we should never do that. We don't want to just share everything, right? But I shared a little bit concerning his knowledge. And you know what? We prayed together, and I just felt he shepherded me so much just by praying with me. And I felt like, Lord, he's a companion. I realized this young brother, he's my companion. We're not even at, we're similar stages, but, you know, I'm 15 years older than him at least. And I just realized, Lord, how good that is, that I can have a companion. We could pray together. I felt like, and he covered it. He's not going to go talking to other people about it. Hey, did you hear, Charles and I were praying for this, about this and this and this. No, I just felt like he's covering it. Anyway, it was so sweet. Okay, how about Roman numeral 2? We got to move on. All together.
We must be blended into one through fellowship and prayer.
Amen. This is really, these two points are really critical, saints. Fellowship is the basis for blending. And this fellowship takes a lot of practice. So we're kind of moving into, I hope you're impressed with the need for twos and threes. And maybe you don't know, how do I practice this now? How do I get my twos and threes? What is it going to look like? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to hopefully bring out some fellowship that'll shed some light on this matter. And the main thing is fellowship. Fellowship is the basis for blending. We need to have lots of thorough fellowship. But even this takes time. When you're with someone, you don't just, like, even God himself, he takes this principle. He doesn't just spew out everything or show everything that's in his heart all at once to somebody who says, Lord, I want to know you. Here you are, right? No, but it takes time, right? There's a relationship that develops. In the same way with your companion, you know, and maybe you're even experiencing this in your twos and threes here at the college training. It's not so easy, is it, to have thorough fellowship? But keep practicing. Actually, what you experience this week, it could be something that would continue afterwards with the same brother, the same sister. So practice, right? We're practicing. So the first thing, this is one. Whenever we come together, we should ask concerning the present situation of each group member. We should fellowship concerning our status, our spiritual condition, and our present situation in and with the Lord. You know, this is really knowing one another, fellowshipping our real situations. You know, and as we go on, we don't even realize how critical it is to have this kind of thorough fellowship. This, your real situation, your real condition before the Lord. You may, you know, you may fellowship with your companion. And I hope some of you would have this fellowship, even this weekend, or this week rather. Well, you just say, you know what, during my time with the Lord, that morning revival time, I just fall asleep. I don't contact the Lord. I pray read for 3 minutes and I had nothing else to do, so I just walked around. If that's your situation, you should fellowship with your companion and share. Isn't that somewhat thorough? Right? You're not just saying, that's great. Everything's great. No, I love my spirit. Maybe you say, you know what? It's hard for me to touch my spirit. Everybody calls on the Lord and nothing happens. I try and I don't feel any different, or I'm struggling with this, or, you know, to have this kind of thorough fellowship, then what do? Your companion shouldn't say, well, actually, according to the ministry, if you look here, no, you know what? If you're a companion, you're listening, I would implore you, don't give an answer. You know, the point of fellowship is not to get an answer necessarily. It's to fellowship. It's to open up. And then the answer is, let's pray. And so we just pray. Because you realize I don't have the answer. You know, I've fellowshiped with somebody and then I just get an answer back. And I'm like, I didn't come to get an answer. You know, I came just to fellowship. So another member of the body knows my situation and they can pray for me. That's the whole point of having this kind of thorough fellowship. So I want to share a little experience that I had observing two families. Well, both of these families had a death in the family at a young age. They lost one of their children. Very traumatic, just full of sorrow. I mean, really tragic. And this one family I observed in my locality, it was obviously when you lose a child, it's just terrible. And they were in a small group of about six that would meet every a certain night of the week. And they would come together, and every time they would come, of course, the wife would just, both of them were really in sorrow, but she would just start crying, you know. And she would leave. She would leave because she just didn't want to be embarrassed. So she would leave. But you know what, eventually she just began to open to the group. You know, somebody would maybe mention something or talk about something that was reminded her of her child, and she would just start to cry. But eventually, you know what happened in this small group? They just were genuine with one another. And so she would just cry with the saints, right? And she would just open her real situation. I'm really struggling with this. And they would just, and sometimes they would be fellowshipping about something, and she would just start to cry, you know? Sometimes we're involved in things, and it's just so troubling, and we don't have to break out and talk about what's going on. And everybody knew her situation because she had fellowship. And so they would just pray. You know, and over time, there was a real strengthening through this kind of openness, thorough fellowship, just sharing genuinely what was going on. I mean, there's no hiding it, right? You don't have to put it away and say, you know what, oh yeah, you had this tragic situation. Well, now's not the time to talk about that, you know? Well, in this kind of vital situation, this vital group, that's the perfect time. Not to talk about it, but to open to one another and just pray. What can the saints say? You can't say anything. You know, you can do your best to console, but anyway, I'm trying to share a principle here. And another family, same situation, outwardly, tragic. I observed this a few years later. But the difference is this sister and this brother, they couldn't be genuine in their emotions with the saints in their group. And so eventually what happened is they just withdrew from the church life because somebody would say something or they would be reminded of this and you know, and eventually it just was, they would start to cry and they didn't want anybody to see their tears. So they would just leave. And eventually they don't meet in the church anymore. And I'm not trying to, you know, maybe that's kind of a heavy example. I don't want to get us into the mind, but the point I want to share, saints, is that we need to have this kind of genuine, thorough, open fellowship. Our real situation. And it's not easy sometimes, especially with your companions, to have this kind of genuine fellowship. But this is how we get through. This is how the Lord will bring us through crises. This is how we get the supply. This is how we strengthen one another. The twos and threes in the small groups. It's just critical. And many times I've fellowshiped with brothers in my companion and my spiritual condition. Right? Present situation in and with the Lord. Many times I've fellowshiped. And I remember multiple times, again, just like Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. I'd fellowship with this brother, my real situation. Brother, I'm struggling with this, there's this, and there's this. And you know what? Almost every time, even as I'm sharing something, as I'm opening in fellowship, the light would be there. I would get the answer. And it's like, I remember one time I had a question about whether this and this, and I just don't know about that, and maybe I should do this. And as I'm sharing with him what I should do, I just had the clarity. Don't do it. And then he's fellowshipping with me, you know, kind of some good fellowship. But the whole time I was just amazed, like, I'm clear. I didn't even get an answer from him yet. And I'm clear. I shouldn't do it. It just took me being with the two or three and opening up, and the light was there. There I am in their midst. So we want to develop this kind of experience, but we need to have the twos and threes. So I'm going to end here with three. The more, okay, there's, be careful about what you open. That's point two. We don't want to, love covers, but we shouldn't open certain things in our past related to sins and damages, damaging others. Anyway, just really public confession of sins has caused trouble. Three, the more we know one another in the proper way, the more we'll love one another. And if we love one another, we'll always feel that we miss one another. Isn't this sweet? Always feel that you miss one another. One of the things that I really appreciate about developing a companionship with this brother is that and I have a few brothers. They're different, like I mentioned, different ages, different stages. But I really appreciate it because I'll enjoy something in the Lord and in the ministry, and I'll just think about this brother. Oh, I want to text it to him. I'll just text it to him, you know. It's like I miss my brother. He's in the college training down south. But I miss my brother. I'm thinking about him. You know, I wish I could say I think about all the students, but I don't, you know, all the time. I pray for them generally, but there's two or three that I'm really focused on. They're in my heart. I love all the saints. I love all the brothers. I mean, don't you feel you love all the saints? But there's a few that I just consider this one. How's he doing? I want to text him, you know. I miss my brother. Isn't that sweet? Don't you want that experience? Amen. I think some of us do have that experience. So how about we have Iwana and Stephanie come up? And after that, Glenn will. Sure.
Amen. I'm Iwana, and I'm going into my third year of university.
And I'm Stephanie, in my fourth year of university. Mm-hmm. And I think how we, our companionship started growing was 2 years ago in our college training. Calgary young people had a burden of having a college meeting in Calgary, which never existed before.
Mm-hmm. So because we were so burdened to have a college meeting, all of us college age actually came together to pray for this. Mm-hmm. But when we got back to our locality, both Stephanie and I realized that we needed more prayer. So we actually kind of just spontaneously came together more often.
Yeah, so I would go over her house before the meeting early, just to study and or sleep sometimes, mm-hmm. or they would just feed me. But then at the end, it just ended up being for praying, to dispense ourselves what we had in each other's heart.
Mm-hmm. And actually, like, whenever she came over, it was never with, like, any intention to be spiritual companions or, like, fellowship or prayer or anything. It was just to be normal with one another. But because we knew we had the meeting coming up in, like, half an hour, we were so desperate. So we just started opening up to each other and started praying together. And actually, that's how we got to know each other's spirit. Amen. And the point that the brother mentioned about, was it, that if we love them, we will really miss them. Once we got to, like, taste each other's spirit, I really felt like every time I would go somewhere or she would go to a training or a conference and we'd hear a point, like at this live training, there were so many points where I was like, I wish Stephanie was with me right now. And I just wanted to, like, text her right away to tell her what I enjoyed because that genuine love and concern was there.
Amen. And also just, you know, at that time, we didn't have companions, so we would pray for one another's companion, which was funny because then the next college training came, and the brother was speaking about, you know, your companions doesn't have to be your same age, but it could be someone older or younger. And he made us do a list and write the ones we thought were companions to us. Mm-hmm. And in my list and in her list, we had each other. Mm-hmm. And so it was confirmed till then that, you know, we were companions this whole entire time. And it's just, we didn't know, but we were falling in love with each other's Christ.
Yeah, it's so true that we didn't know that we were companions. Just because we thought that, like, we'd have to make, like, divine appointments and a set schedule, and we didn't have any of that. It was just more like every time I enjoyed something, I would text her, or she would FaceTime me, or call one another. It was never, like, a set thing. But because we loved each other so much, every time we heard something, we couldn't help but, like, bring it to the other person. So, actually, when the brother told us to, like, write down each other's names, she actually told me on the airplane coming back home, you know, that she really enjoyed that point, that a companion doesn't have to be your own age. I was like, I really enjoyed that point, too. And then she's like, do you think we've been companions this entire time? I was like, yeah, I really think we have been. So it wasn't until, like, a year of praying and fellowship that we, like, defined our friendship as companionship.
And before that, I had been praying for a companion as well. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until you see your companionship where you can just unload your burdens. Mm-hmm. And then she picks it up, which is so great because, you know, the Lord coming back from training, he gives you a bunch of stuff to enjoy. Mm-hmm. But then it's not the same until you enjoy it with someone and if they pick it up.
Mm-hmm. And, like, a lot of the times, it's, like, so many points that you hear, it's so full, like, the fullness of Christ is, like, too much. So to have a companion and then to share with her, even if she was not at the same conference as me, she picks up the burden right away. And then what she says is, like, oh, wow, I didn't even see that when the brother was speaking. So I really enjoyed that. We need companions because we need one another's portion of Christ.
Amen.
We can't enjoy Christ for ourselves.
Amen. But I think where it really started was through prayer. Mm-hmm. So if we're seeking for a companion, I think we start praying to the Lord, mm-hmm. that he would grant us a companion. You know, it might last 2 years, but he will grant it. If we ask it to the Father and ask it because it's his desire, mm-hmm. then he will grant it to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
Very good. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
You could tell when they're sharing that they really loved each other. You could just sense... It just exudes love. It's very sweet. I appreciate how they said they didn't even know they were companions, but they were companions. One thing that caught that Iwana said that they were learning to know each other's spirit. Did you catch that? Know each other's spirit. That's not easy. To know each other's spirit requires two things: fellowship and prayer. And I would just add some describers to fellowship. What kind of fellowship? Fellowship isn't just I'm pouring out all my deepest, darkest secrets. Fellowship needs to be intimate, but it also needs to be thorough. How do you know how intimate to be? You know by your inner man. Your inner man knows. You may begin to say something, and the inner man may stop you. Or you may not want to say something, and the inner man is prompting you to open up. Some of you, it's very easy for you to, you're like an open book. You just, you know, you can go up to a stranger and just pour out everything. That's just how we are. So the Spirit may restrict you. Others of us, it takes more than a crowbar to open up anything that's in us. We just are closed like a clam. And so it takes the Spirit to really tell us and prompt us and push us to realize I should open this to them. So the inner man, the spirit, is to the extent in which we open to one another. Once we open to one another, the other one doesn't need to try to analyze and solve the problem. Brothers, learn this lesson. Learn this lesson. Brothers, we're hotwired. We're wired in our minds to solve problems. So when someone opens to you, immediately you begin to consider, I think this is the problem. This is the solution. This is your problem, brother. When a person opens to you, they're not looking to you as the answer. You don't have all the answers. You shouldn't assume that you have the answer. The best way to help a person is to pray with them. The sooner you learn this, the sooner it will help you in your married life, brothers and sisters. Brothers, and sisters. We're so burdened that you would pick up the twos and threes, the companions. Why? It's not just to make your college years easier. It's not just so that you can stay preserved. It's for your whole life, brothers and sisters. You're not just doing it for your college years. You're doing it for your whole life. When you get married, you're doing the same thing. Hopefully your spouse will be your companion. And not your only companion, you'll have your other brothers and other sisters in the church life to be companions. Like Charles said, we should have several companions, not just one or two. So Roman numeral 2 is the burden of this message, I think. And it tells you how to get built up together. In the world, they also have things like companions and friends and, you know, talks about how to make friends and how to have companions. But we're talking about spiritual companionship. The nature of this companionship is spiritual. On the one hand, yeah, we do need to know one another humanly, and it's good to do things. My parents were in a group, and they got to know one another by going out on a whitewater rafting trip. I thought, wow, my mom on a whitewater rafting trip. That is something to see. But, you know, they did that because they felt like this is a good way to get to know one another. And that's fine. But you can never replace these two things, fellowship and prayer.
Amen.
And these two always go together. You cannot pray without fellowship, and you should not fellowship without having some prayer. Why? Because if you just have prayer, what do you pray for? Do you just pray for the situation in the Middle East? You can, but it's far from where your heart is. Your heart is somewhere else in this problem that you're having. And if you just fellowship, where's the Spirit? So we learn to fellowship, we open to one another, and then we pray for one another. These two ingredients, brothers and sisters, will blend us together, will bring us together. Amen. Learn how to do this. This takes practice. It takes practice. You'll be doing it with this companion, maybe for your college years, and then maybe later on I'll switch to someone else. We need to learn these lessons, how to open, fellowship, and pray. Amen. Fellowship and pray. Okay. We need to do this. Not just for our own problems. You don't just fellowship just only when you have a crisis. We just fellowship all the time. And, you know, some of you have mentioned that you want to preach the gospel. And yesterday we saw hands of how few people are here from the gospel. Doesn't that touch you? You should feel burdened. There should be more. Maybe next year we can have a lot more raise their hands that have have heard the gospel in their college years. But to preach the gospel is also designed by twos and threes. The Lord never sent the disciples out on their own. He had 12. He could have covered 12 cities and covered a lot more ground with just 12. But instead, he paired them up and sent them out by twos. So now he can only cover, what, 6 cities? Well, you think, well, that's not very effective, Lord. I would have sent them out individually and then have them cover more ground. But that's not how the Lord operates. The Lord realizes to bear fruit, you need two. Humanly, it takes two to bear children. Spiritually, it also takes two to bear children. You have some friends. Your companion has some friends. You should come together and pray for your friends who are your burden bearer. We'll see this again. We'll see this more tomorrow. Roman numeral 3, because the time will keep moving. Roman numeral 3 tells us practically how we can have companions. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together.
As companions being grouped together in twos and threes, we should come together to fellowship, sing, pray, pursue the truth, and take care of new ones.
Let's read A.
Consider practically. We have to be practical. If we're not practical, it just doesn't happen. You can't just say, I'm companions with everybody. Everybody. Well, that's not very practical. Nor is it practical to say, let's come together every day at the crack of dawn on the top of the mountain over there. That's not practical either. You have to consider your schedule, and you have to consider what you want to, your goals. If you are having a hard time reading the Bible, that could be a goal. And you can approach someone and say, I am having a hard time reading the Bible every day. Can you read the Bible with me? In fact, we have a testimony of that. How about we have Tim, Philip, and Jeremy come up and share.
So I'm Philip from Seattle, and Tim and Jeremy and I have known each other. Well, we all grew up in the church life, so we've basically known each other for the majority of our church life. Though we have, we're all companions, but we have very polar opposite personalities. So it's the Lord's mercy that we've been kept throughout all these years. But with regards to being grouped together to keep a reading schedule, I went to a true special fellowship message on reading the Word 2 years ago. By the word, have it in your heart. And personal experience has been really beneficial because, especially in stressful situations, bring to life first that's been made into a song. That time. So we would actually come, we decide to come to together every Sunday morning. To pray and read we were reading the New Testament, and we would read and then do footnotes, and we followed the morning revival schedule, and we'd read two sections on Sunday. And then something that I really enjoyed, actually, is, we were really built together, and an experience I had was that we were at SST. Me and Philip were actually roomed together, and we were... for some reason, I was feeling I couldn't really touch my spirit, and I felt kind of dead in our time with the Seattle Saints in the night. So I was talking to Philip about it, and we decided to pray about it that night. And we had, 20 minutes of prayer or something about just being able to touch the Lord and for him to be so rich to us. And the next night at the when we were having our group time, a brother he thought it was funny or something just to sing Abba Father because it was only two words. And then it goes to how we love you and then different, ways of singing the song. And then a brother brought up how, what Abba Father means and how to have a personal and affectionate relationship with the Lord. And then we decided to sing the song again. And it was such a rich and enjoyable experience. You could really feel that during our prayer time, the Lord was really with us, and that he was in our midst.
So just a real quick aside first. I'm actually in a different locality than these two brothers are. So we only really see each other whenever we have blending meetings or we come to the retreats and the trainings together. So for those of you who may be alone in your locality, and you look at your outward situation, and you may say, well, there's no one for me, right? Don't stop praying, really, because the Lord, the Lord is sovereign. He has a way to open up a companion for you. I think the point where I realized these brothers were my companions was when I realized that I could freely pray with these brothers. Even during the break, when we realized we were asked to speak today, we all had the same realization. We need to pray about our speaking. And so I remember we were outside. We were joking about how everyone was talking about who was their natural preference and who wasn't. But all of a sudden, Philip just said, "Brothers, let's pray." And there was no weird looks. No, what are you talking about? We just said, "Amen, Lord Jesus, Lord, we give you our speaking." And, this has really been my experience with these brothers, is that I'm able to pray with them, at any time, at any place. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Very good. So they got together to read the Word together. And you're reading the New Testament with footnotes. Have you finished? You're really close. How long has it taken you? 2 years. But that's a long time. But if you had not called each other, do you think you would have done it? There's no way. Right. So reading the Word with footnotes actually is very impressive. You can do it with companions, and it gets done. So under B, there's all these points on how you can, there are all these goals in different areas that you can have companions to take to practice these things. You have prayer, morning revival, reading the Bible, reading the truth, getting in the truth, the gospel, shepherding one another, and I would add one more, six, prophesying. We have one more, two sisters, Sophie Chen and Rachel Cao. They can share with us how they're prophesying companions.
I'm Sophie, and I just graduated from university.
I'm Rachel, and I'm going to my last year in college.
And we're both from Vancouver. So Rachel and I entered UBC together in our first year, but it wasn't until the college training in the summer of our sophomore year that we were built together as companions. We were placed in the same group, and we were together for the twos and threes time. And through the twos and threes time, we learned to open up to each other about our situations. We learned to pray together, and we learned to pray for each other. We got to know each other's spirit, and we also got to know each other on a human level.
And so Sophie and I were both meeting in the church in Vancouver, and there was a truth perfecting training for the English-speaking saints. And one of the topics was on learning how to prophesy. And after that training, I realized the importance of prophesying, because prophesying builds up the church.
Right.
And so I wanted to enter into that practice, but at the same time, there was a few college sisters that were meeting on, like that were attending the prophesying meeting, and so sometimes I would feel very discouraged to stand up to prophesy, because in myself I just didn't like to stand up in front of a large group of people. So I realized I needed a companion to help me with this problem, and I was really happy to find Sophie, who is also burdened to enter into the practice of prophesying.
So we started to call each other every Saturday night to share our enjoyment from the Holy Word for Morning Revival from that week. And we practiced speaking to each other from the outline and from the points in the reading. And afterwards, we would always pray over the content at the end. And during our prayer, we would always pray that our speaking would not be from ourselves, but that our speaking would be the Lord speaking through us.
Amen.
And we always prayed that our speaking would dispense Christ into the other saints.
Amen.
And afterwards, we would hang up and write out our portions to prophesy. And we can't remember when we started doing this, because it's become so spontaneous for us to call each other, but we think we've been doing this for over a year. And through calling each other every week, it wasn't just preparing for the prophesying meeting anymore, but at the end, we would spontaneously start praying for each other and for the prayer burdens on our hearts.
And during the prophesying meeting on the Lord's Day, I would be hesitant to stand up and prophesy. But when I see Sophie stand up, I will also exercise my spirit to stand up.
Amen.
Her willingness to stand up and really encouraged me to do the same. And it became easier to deny myself and to stand with my spirit.
Amen.
So the practice of prophesying became less burdensome, but more enjoyable with the support of a companion.
Amen.
And I also feel that with our sharing each week, I was blessed with an extra portion of Christ.
Amen.
Because her enjoyment of the Lord became my supply.
Amen.
And so if you are well open and willing to have a companion, a prophesying companion, the Lord is able to do super abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
To pair us with God-given companions, not those that are like us, but those we need.
Amen.
Through our being built up as companion, we learn to pray and care for each other, and we also learned how to prophesy.
Amen. So we like to encourage you all that you can all learn how to prophesy with your companion.
Amen.
Very good. Thank you, sisters. So I appreciate that they said that they were frightened of prophesying. Me too. And it helps to have companions to, if you're afraid of the prophesying, the gospel, you have troubles reading, troubles getting into morning revival, or getting revived in the morning, companions can solve all these problems. Okay, because of